The book of Acts and the third gospel, the Gospel of Luke, are written by the same author, a person we call Luke. And so our Pentecost lesson comes from the second volume, from the book of Acts, and it recounts the events of that first Pentecost day according to Luke. And so as I read these words, don't try to figure them out. That's not the point of it. It's to be kind of confronted by these words. And kind of how do these words speak to you at this particular point in your life, at this particular point on your journey of faith? When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. At this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own languages we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power. All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, 'What does this mean?' But others sneered and said, 'Oh, they're filled with new wine.' But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, 'Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved.'" Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. All right. I hope you were here last week or joined us online. And I just want to see a show of hands. Were you here last week? Let's see if anybody was here. Okay, a few. Okay, good, 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 good. Well, it was a great week. It was a great week. It was Senior High Youth Sunday. And our senior high young people led all aspects of the worship service. They offered the prayers. They collected the offering. They played the music. They read the scriptures. They ushered. They made the announcements. Everything. They did everything. And our own Davis Walker even preached. It was amazing. Oh, and I want to talk for a minute about that preaching, just for a minute. Apart from an inappropriate, even sacrilegious comment about that light blue school down the road, that sermon was right on target. It was right on target. But get this. Davis preached, including the gospel lesson, for 8 minutes and 49 seconds. 8 minutes and 49. Who ever heard of such a thing? A sermon for 8 minutes and 49. Anyway, it was all people could talk about. That's all I heard all week. People say, "Hey, did you hear Davis preached this week?" "Yeah, I heard it was great. It was 8 minutes and 49 seconds. I was at Food Lion, and I'm just walking out here, clerks talking. What are they talking about? Did you hear Davis Walker preach at Pleasant Grove United Methodist Church last week?" "Yeah, I heard about it. It was only 8 minutes and 49 seconds. I was at a stoplight on Creedmoor Road, and I just said, well, I'm going to roll down the window. It's kind of hot in here. I'm just going to let it here." And I couldn't hear exactly what was in the car adjacent to me. I couldn't hear exactly what they were talking about. But all I could hear was, and it was 8 minutes and 49 seconds. And they were smiling and nodding. And I looked over, and it was my family. And anyway, I just took off. I just took off. And I've been wrestling with the implications of this all week. 8 minutes and 49 seconds. So, anyway, I came to a big decision. Today, I am going to mix things up a bit. Today, it's going to be 8 minutes and 48 seconds. So, top that, Davis. Top that. Go, Blue Devils. All right. Now, settle down. Settle down. Okay. You know, last week, as folks left church, I heard them say, oh, it was inspirational. Service was inspirational. The young people were inspiring. And they were. And I thought, that is a wonderful observation to make. Inspirational. And, you know, we use that term occasionally, but we reserve it for certain things. For instance, let's say you go to the Vatican. You go in the Sistine Chapel. You look up and you go, wow, Michelangelo was inspired. You listen to a beautiful piece of music, maybe Bach's Passion of St. Matthew, and you go, he was inspired. Maybe listen to Martin Luther King Jr.'s speech, I Have a Dream speech. Martin was inspired. What if, maybe you read the sonnets of Shakespeare. Inspired. So let me ask you this. Have you ever been inspired? Have you ever been inspired? I hope so. I hope so. But so let me ask you this. What is that? You say you've been inspired. What is inspiration? All right. The Latin word inspiritus means to breathe, to inspirit. And as the word implies, and as we all know, inspiration does not find its source within. No, it finds its source from beyond self. Genesis 2, verse 7 reads, then the Lord God formed the human from the dust of the ground and breathed into its nostrils the breath of life. And the human became a living being. It's theology, not science, folks, but it's profoundly true nevertheless. Inspiration. You know, let me remind you that the word breath and spirit and wind in Hebrew and in Greek is the same word. It depends on how you want to translate it in the given context. And of course, an ancient and basic affirmation of our faith tradition has always been that we are not the source of our own life. No, no, no. That source originates in the heart of the divine. In other words, God breathes and we become human beings. And if you stop and think about that statement, it will work its way into your heart. It'll work its way into your soul. God's indwelling spirit is what makes us who we are. You know, and without it, we're nothing. When someone dies, we say, they expired. Right? The breath, the spirit leaves, and life ceases. And without this animated presence, we're just a body. We're a corpse. All right. Today, we stand on the threshold of the liturgical season we call Pentecost. Now, Pentecost is the longest season of the Christian year. It runs from today until the first Sunday of Advent, which this year happens to be the first Sunday of December. And I pointed it out at the early service, I think. This year, Christmas Eve and the fourth Sunday of Advent are the same day. And that, you know, that doesn't occur very often, but we'll worry about that then. Pentecost is the season of the church. First half of the year, we focus on the life and ministry of Jesus. The second half of the year, we focus on the life and ministry of the church. So last Sunday was called Ascension Sunday. Ascension Sunday, on that day, we stand balanced between these two seasons, between the season of resurrection, during which the presence of Christ stands out next to, alongside of, the church's presence. And then in Pentecost, the presence of the Christ is within the church, within the ministry of the church. And we didn't read the Ascension story last week because the youth were doing their own thing. Oh, did I mention that Davis Walker's sermon is only 8 minutes and 49 seconds? Who heard of such a thing? Okay, anyway. I read chapter 2 a minute ago from Acts, the Pentecost story. Now, the Ascension story is in Acts 1. Just prior to the Ascension, Jesus gives directions to his disciples saying, this is how you're going to carry on without me. This is how you're going to go about your work. And he says, wait here for the promise of the Father. This, he said, is what you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. You will be baptized with the Spirit. You will be baptized with the Spirit of God. You will be animated with the breath of God, and it will give you life. It will empower you to go forth into this world and offer that breath of life to others. Friends, that's who we are. That's what we do. That's why we exist. We're those who breathe and we live, and then we extend that life to others. That's what we're celebrating today. That's what we talk about on Pentecost. Now, after Jesus says this on Ascension Sunday, he leaves. He departs. He ascends, as we say. And again, I'll let Luke tell the story. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven?" Friends, Ascension Sunday keeps us hanging. It keeps hanging. Every single year, it keeps us standing there looking up. Looking up. But that's not who we are. We don't stand looking up. No, you see, we're called to be conduits of God's grace, conduits of the presence of Christ. You know, too often the church is accused, and rightfully so, of standing just gazing up into heaven while everything else falls apart. It's been accused, and rightfully so, of being an institution devoid of any real and significant life. Friends, that's a sign of a church that's stuck on Ascension Sunday. Just stand there looking up. Well, that was last week. Today's Pentecost. And when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, Pentecost is a Jew, in the Jewish tradition, is a holiday that's celebrated 50 days after Passover. Pentecost means 50 in Greek. And it represents a seven-week grain cycle. You know, you plant it around Passover, you harvest it around 50 days later, or Pentecost. And the idea in the ancient world, in Judaism, you brought the first fruits, the best fruits, and you offered them to God. And your basic affirmation was this, that God is with us and God sustains us. You know, the image used by Luke here today in that passage I read from Acts 2 is intense, bizarre even. But that shouldn't surprise us, should it? No, it's Pentecost language. And that is, it's imagery used to convey the presence and the power of the sacred moving among us, moving in this world. And that's intense. That's bizarre. And Pentecost, as we always say, has been called the birthday of the church, because it was at this point that a fledgling religious movement found its way, found its purpose, found its life, found its God. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but something did happen, and there was no going back. There's no going back. Too often we think of Pentecost, we think of speaking in tongues. But that's not what it's about. No. The message of Pentecost is so much bigger than that. It's about the sacred colliding with the world. And it's about pouring forth the divine presence into a parched land, into parched souls. So friends, today is Pentecost Sunday. Today we celebrate the divine breath that inspires our lives, that inspires a community called Pleasant Grove. It inspires us and drives us to life in the world. So on this Pentecost, I have two words for you. Go. So go. So go. It's time to get to work. Bob, how did I do? What? 8 minutes and 48 seconds? That's perfect, Bob. Thank you. Happy Pentecost. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right.